Everyone, let's go ahead and get started. We're just a minute or two behind. I know most of you in the class know Miss Judy Martin, and she called us last night. Her sister Violet, who we've had on the prayer list for a long time, is in the final stages of her life, and they have the hospice taking care of her, and so she didn't know if she'd make it through the night last night, but she wanted the class to pray special for her this morning. So I'm going to ask Joe Shaw if he would pray and just ask God to be with her and the family during this time.
Dear Lord, we bring Miss Violet Barlow to you today. And Lord, we know this is a difficult time for not only her, but the family as well. And God, I pray you just comfort all of them during this difficult time. And God, from what I understand, she knows she's her Savior, Lord, and it won't be long, Lord, she'll see you face to face. What a blessing that will be. And Lord, many of us go through lots of suffering in this life, but one of these days we've got to give an account. And God, knowing that you know you as a personal Savior makes all the difference in the world. Just help them through this time, and God, just receive her to yourself. We pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Okay, thank you, Joe. We'll go ahead and run down a few announcements here, and then we'll get to some more prayer requests. Of course, tonight we're going to have the Christmas cantata, and you know, I'm sure some of you in here are in that's in the choir, so we'll be looking forward to that tonight. Also, we'd like to say condolences to the friends of Guy Altizer. A lot of y'all knew Guy. He was a local guy here that Preacher Lasley had won to the Lord, him and his wife Cookie, and they went out in the ministry, and they've worked very hard over the years. And Brother Guy went home to be with the Lord on December the 10th. So please remember Cookie and their family during this time of his passing. Let's see, on Sunday, next Sunday, not this Sunday, but next Sunday, there's going to be the discovery class that Brother Bobby Brown is going to start downstairs. That lasts for three or four Sundays. It'll be at 10 a.m. And there's a sign-up out in the foyer for it. So if you're interested in going to that discovery class, maybe you're new to the church or not been here very long, and you might be interested in finding out a little bit more about the church. So that will be starting next Sunday. Also, on the 24th, on Christmas Eve, we're going to have the candlelight service, and if you've never been to that, I know it will bless your heart if you come to it. The candlelight service is very sweet service, and we just give glory to the Lord. Also, like to say, plan to read your Bible through in the year of 26. If you've never done that in the past, it's a wonderful thing. You really grow as you read that book from cover to cover, and so it's very refreshing to know there'll be things in there. If you read it every year, you'll find new things every year that you never saw before. And so just plan on doing that next year. Also, we're doing the birthday offering for Jesus during this time, and there will be two good there's two children's homes that's going to get it, and I was going to say organizations, and I couldn't say it. It was just hung on my tongue. There's two good organizations that's going to get that this year, and so if whatever comes in during that will go entirely to them. So that will be, I think they'll probably run that into January, or so. So y'all think about that. Okay, we've prayed for Judy this morning. Please remember her. This is her last sibling alive, so this is very hard on her. We also want to continue to pray for Summer Scroggs. Summer is had a little bit better week this week, I understand, and that's a wonderful thing. That's moving in the right direction, and we want to keep her before the Lord and just pray for her. So also praying for Lois Musgrove, who had some procedures on her legs, and I don't know if she's through with that yet or not, but continue to keep her in your prayer. And there's a person on here, you may not recognize his name, it's Paul Gray. And you know, recently, Wexler Grave, his wife Betty died. And so Wexler is up in the nursing home at Blundville. And his brother tomorrow is going to have hip replacement over at Johnson City. So you guys remember him in prayer. And he and his wife has attended church here before. And she asked me if I would put him on the list, and I said, yes, I will. So also, Miss Shirley is going to have the second eye done tomorrow for cataract surgery. And we're praying still for Jackie Barrett and praying that God is going to work in his life and help him with these physical issues that he's going through with. And we're still praying for Wanda Simpson. So there's many on this list right here, and you know they've been on there a long time, and we want to keep them before you. That's why we give out this list every week, so that you can remember to pray for them, bring them to the Lord. This week, I don't think she's here, but we're looking at a birthday for Miss Candy Perkins, and so we'll wish her happy birthday on December the 20th. And that's all that I have right now. Anyone else got something they'd like to bring to our attention? Okay, Brother Philip has a procedure on Tuesday. Okay. Yes, ma'am, Ms. Sheila. Okay, y'all remember that request. I couldn't hear it all, Sheila, so it's okay. God heard you. And so with that being said, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Then we have a couple of other things to do, okay? Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this day and for the blessings of it. God, it's so good to see all these folks that's come out this morning. And Lord, we thank you for them. We thank you for their faithfulness. God, we thank you for the love that you have shown us as a people and for that gift of your Son there on the cross, Lord. And we're so thankful that 3 days later he rose. You brought him to life. God, he's alive today. He's on your right hand and he's making intercession for our prayers. Lord, we just want to praise you, thank you, and lift you up. Lord, thank you for the privilege to join together with these folks and worship you in spirit and truth, Lord. God, remember these requests, every one of them. God, I know that you know about them before we ask, but you say that you have knowledge of what we need before we ask, but you still want us to ask. And Father, we bring them before you today. Bless the service. I pray you'll be with Brother Philip. Lord, he's been faithful. We just thank you for him. And I pray you'll be with Pastor Herdman as he comes at 11 o'clock hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We have a, thank you, Danny. some gift cards to give out, two of them from Chick-fil-A. Do you guys like that? If you don't, I'll take them. And two from Cracker Barrel. And if you don't like those, I'll take those too. And Danny's going to do this. Patty, can you deliver? Where is that girl? Oh, she's way back in the back. So we're going to pick that. There's a number on the bottom of your bag. So we'll keep drawing numbers until I know we've got a bunch that we didn't give out. So,
okay, number 11.
All right, Karen. Do I need to check? I don't know about her. I might need to check that. There you go.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas. Oh, did you want Cracker Barrel or did you want Chick-fil-A? It is. Okay.
Okay, number 53.
That might be one in the box back there. Of course, it might be mine, but it doesn't matter.
Well, you want any more.
And it might be. If it's one of, I got number one. Okay. In the box?
Okay. Number 30. Has anybody got number 30?
Lisa? All right. Which one you want? Cracker Barrel or Chick-fil-A? Okay. Merry Christmas. Oh, Merry Christmas. All right. I believe you. You don't have to show me the number. This is Cracker Barrel. Okay, cool. Yep, one more.
Number 46.
Is that Becky? All right. Can you slide that over to her? Merry Christmas, Becky. Praise the Lord. We will get Brenda and Harry's over to them. Thank you, Danny.
Yes, sir.
Right after church. And Wanda, is Wanda and GS home yet, or are they still over at Quillen?
Well, I'm not sure. The last I heard, they were at Quillen.
Okay.
So, anybody know? Okay. She's home.
Does anybody live in that direction? We'll go the other way to do Harry and Brenda. If somebody lives that way, can you stop two bags by their house? If you can't, we'll do it. They're not far away. We know where they live. Okay, we'll do it.
I'll take it.
You'll take it?
I'll take
okay,
it.
Okay, grab two bags then, if you would. We'll grab two for Harry and Brenda.
Okay. Well,
how wonderful.
Let me say this. You stay standing right there.
Okay.
We'd like to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Ah, praise the Lord.
We love you. We thank God for you.
Thank you, brother.
And our class thanks the world of you. They've made up a little gift for you. And so we will give that to you.
Thank you so much.
We hope you can buy something that you really enjoy or want.
Thank you so much. Do I have to have... Can I do this without Patty touching any of it?
Because
all my money goes straight into her purse.
You're putting me on the spot, man. I can't talk about that.
Is that how it works at your house, too, brother? I know. Thank you so much.
Okay.
I really appreciate it. Oh, God bless you. I do this for nothing simply because I love you folks and I love the Lord. Amen. I don't know what this is. You were too generous last year, and I was very humbled by it. And so I'm very grateful. Thank you so much. And so now I have to be mean, huh? Oh, merciful heavens. Turn to James chapter 2 and verse 12. And let's continue on our study. I'm not a theme type of guy in the sense of doing sermons or lessons for seasonal things, but I almost did, and I might next week. But the pastor said, I'm going to preach on this. I thought, oh, my soul, that's what I was going to talk about. And so I'll just leave that off and go and stick with James. But I'll hear it in the hour to come. And if it's not what I was going to say, then maybe I'll do it next week. We'll see. God's word's so wonderful, isn't it? It is so wonderful. And I just love it. I do. So let's read verses 12 and 13. So speak and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty, for he shall have judgment without mercy. Do you remember our lesson from last week? Possibly our last Sunday school lesson may have been a view or an emphasis on the topic of the judgment seat of Christ that you have never considered or even heard. I've been saved, come January, 50 years. I have heard preaching and teaching on this subject that had the effect upon me that I really don't need to worry about this, that I don't need to be concerned about the judgment seat of Christ at all, that it is something that I do not need to consider seriously or to prepare for, and that the whole event is really kind of a gentle adjustment, you know, just a kindly talk, not a judgment. That's the effect that it has had on me. Everything's okay. We're just going to, you know, have a little talking to. The ideas that we discussed last week of condemnation, judgment without mercy, our text, burning fire, loss, weeping and gnashing of teeth, and terror, though clearly seen in all these passages that relates to the coming judgment, are never really discussed or mentioned at all by ministers today. As a matter of fact, we're kind of embarrassed. I've heard preachers preach on this, and they have a clear definition all the way up to this point, and then all of a sudden, they revert to saying, oh, these are just lost church people. Really? I'm sorry, no. I'm sorry, they're not just lost church people, because all of these references that have all of these modifiers are talking to God's people, to Christians. We cannot explain these things away. It's as if in this day and age we've come to the point of 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, here we are again, at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. This is sound doctrine we've been talking about, revolving around the judgment seat of Christ. And well, we just skirt around it all the time. And it's almost as if we don't want to be bothered with this troubling idea. It just makes us tremble a little bit. Folks, that's not a bad thing. It says in Jude chapter 1 and verse 12, these are spots in your feasts of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Now, this is a judgment on these people, feeding themselves without fear. You and I come to this place to do what? What did the Lord say to Peter there beside the lake? Feed my sheep. We're here to feed, amen, on this blessed book. But there is a kind of person that comes into our congregation, and maybe you and I can get into that situation too, where we feed ourselves without fear. We've lost that. And this idea that we've been talking about as the judgment seat of Christ ought to cause us to tremble. Isaiah 66, verse 2. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. Do you know, James chapter 2, verse 19, if you go down just a little bit, look at this. Thou believest that there is one God. We'll talk about this in depth later. Thou doest well. The devils believe, and what do they do? Tremble. Why? Because they know judgment's coming, and there's nothing they can do about it. They believe and tremble, and God's people hear these things, and they don't even tremble like devils do. Now, that's something else, isn't it? Folks, judgment is coming. It is. Now, I spoke about this with much trepidation, knowing my own sinfulness. I did not want to teach this. But like it or not, it's in the text. Amen. It's just in the text, judgment without mercy. It was my intent to give these concepts and truths surrounding this event their proper weight, to bring them into the light of day, to take these things that we haven't even, we just scratched the surface on the second coming of Christ in our discussion. But we need to consider these things because they're very weighty matters. If we consider these concepts properly, what effect should it have on every sincere disciple of Christ? Let me read you some verses. 1 Peter 4:7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye sober and watch unto prayer. 1 Peter 1:13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Once again, the second coming, what we're going to face, the revelation. How are we to respond to that? Be sober, gird up the loins of your mind. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 1, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord, here it is again, the second coming, so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, that's the world, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore what? Let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Why? Because that day is coming. If it's going to be this wonderful, oh, you've not been as good as I'd like you to be, but it's okay, you know, everything's going to be fine, come on in. No, if it's a judgment and that day is approaching, then we ought to be sober, gird up the loins of our mind, and watch unto prayer. Second Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8. We are confident, and I say willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore, we labor. Oh, let me go back even further. That's fine. Verse 9. Wherefore, we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be what? You all know this verse. That we may be accepted of the Lord. I thought we were all accepted in Christ. We most assuredly are. But we're talking about the judgment seat of Christ and being acceptable of what we've done in this life. And to do that, we labor night and day that we might be acceptable to him. Then he goes right on to say, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So, should we just kind of sirrah, and everything's going to be fine and we don't need to worry about that? Or should we do what these verses say that are revolving around the judgment seat of Christ? Watch. That means, folks, everything in our life, every thought, every word, is it right? Is it according? Will it be acceptable? Is this attitude that I have towards that brother right there, is it acceptable? I must watch everything that it be acceptable. How else do we labor if it's not watching in prayer and being very sober about our Christian life? Why? All of these verses are revolving around our coming judgment before our great God. Now, that brings us to the next idea that we need to discuss in this passage. So speak and so do as they that shall be judged, notice that term, by the law of liberty. Now, we've seen that before. Do you remember? Go back to James chapter 1 and verse 25. I'll pick it up in verse 21. Wherefore, we'd studied all of this for months ago. Wherefore, laying apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Now here it is. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now, that's the word of God. That whole passage is nothing but your and my involvement with this book in our lives. And if we involve ourselves in it, we studied all of this, we will be set free. It's a law of liberty. We have the ability to live for God. We will be blessed in our deed. God wants to use this book in our life to make us acceptable. This is how we labor night and day, that we might be acceptable to Him. Now, you're either using this book to that end, or God one day will take that perfect law of liberty at that judgment seat and judge you by it. Now, we have a choice. We can either submit to that here and now, but for sure we will submit to it at that judgment seat. God is going to take the same book you've got in your lap, and He's going to apply it to your life like He wants to do now. Amen? To set you free, to bless your life, to give you grace. How are we doing? Everything in there touches some part of our life, and He's going to use it in that judgment. But wouldn't it be better if we just let Him work in our heart now? Amen? 2 Timothy 4, verse 1. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. What is the very next thing He says to, Paul says to Timothy? Preach the word. Preach the word. We're preparing for that coming. Right after he talks about the coming of the Lord, he's charging him to preach this book. Why? Because he wants to present everybody blameless before him at his coming. That is God's will. One last final point from our text. Verse 14. Verse 13. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, but mercy rejoiceth against judgment. This is talking about what God would rather do than judge you. God would rather have mercy on every one of us. You and I need to realize that God is not obligated to do anything. Everything that God does, He does as an expression of His nature. Period. He is not obligated to save the world. He has chosen to save the world because He so loved the world. That is His nature, amen? Will He judge the world? Absolutely. Why? Because God is holy. Those are His natures. Amen? And by the way, His natures are not in conflict with each other. They are not. He will do according to His nature, according to how men have responded to Him. If they reject the truth, if they live in sin, what must He do? He must judge. That is His nature. He is a holy God. But mercy rejoiceth against judgment. God is love as well as holy. Amen? And God wants to have mercy. That's why he sent his son to die for sinful man, because he's a merciful God. He wants to. These are not in conflict with each other. Not by any means. God wants to have mercy. In Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 31, 32, it says this: cast away from you all your transgressions whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord. Wherefore turn yourselves and live ye. That's God's heart. Amen. He says it again in Ezekiel in chapter 33 and verse 11. Say unto them, I live, saith the Lord God. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye, turn ye. Can you feel the heart of God and his will here? Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will you die, O house of Israel? Now, he will judge them. They will die if they do not turn. He is holy. He must do that. But his heart does not desire it, and he takes no pleasure in it. He wants to have mercy. Amen. Now, God wants to have mercy on you and me. The seat upon which our Savior sits in judgment, it is a judgment seat of Christ. He now sits on that same seat, and it is the mercy seat. Amen? It's just going to change its application after we're gone. Right now, it's a mercy seat, because he tells us in Hebrews 4 and verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that he may find mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Now he is our great high priest. Amen? Because he wants to save us to the uttermost that come unto God by him. He wants that. He does not want to judge, not one, but he will, to be sure. By the way, in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, let us therefore come boldly. Where is my time? Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might what? Now, we're talking about having mercy at that day. I want mercy at that day. I do. I do. Everything I can do, I want to get there and God say, well done. But I know I have not done well every time, in every situation. Have you? How do we remedy that? We come boldly to the throne of grace. We get what first? Mercy. Now, folks, if we've sinned, what we need is mercy, correct? That's the first thing we need. And God has promised that if we come and confess our sin and ask for mercy, he is faithful and just to help me. Cleanse us of our sin. Oh, I can't quote the words, but you know what it is. Is faithful and just to cleanse us of our sin. And help me there, brother. Thank you. And is that true? And is that right now? And will we ever have to deal with that at that judgment seat? No. Because we dealt with it right here, and we begged for mercy, and God was faithful to forgive us. That's what God wants to do. Amen. The just man falleth seven times, but riseth up again. But notice what's next. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Folks, everybody that wants, now let me say it this way, the only people that want mercy without grace to live godly are the lost. They do want mercy. but they don't want to live right. If you really want to please your God, if you really are laboring night and day, if your mind, if the loins of your mind are girded and you're watching under prayer and you're watching your heart and you say, oh, that attitude is wrong, and you get under conviction and you go to that throne of grace and say, God, forgive me, what do you do? You say, Lord, please give me grace that I never do it again. Amen? Right. And what does he do to help you with that? I'll read it to you. Acts 20 and verse 32. Paul is taking his leave of the Ephesians. He will never see them again. He is going to take this offering to Jerusalem. And we know there he's going to go to Rome in chains. But he's taking his leave of them. And in verse 32, he says this, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the, here it is, and to the word of his grace. If God is working in your life and you are preparing yourself for that day that you're going to stand before him, and you are girding up the loins of your mind, and you are being sober about your Christian life, you are watching everything that you do, every decision, everything. You're watching and you're praying about it, and you see that it's not right. God forgives you, and then what does he do? He takes, if he's going to give you grace, he's going to take you right back to the word of his grace. You and I cannot get away from this. You and I have been given the perfect law of liberty that we might be blessed. And every time we get right, every step of grace that we take, we come right back to this book. Amen? Amen. Amen. I was talking to a brother in here some weeks ago, and he was sharing with me some things. And you know what? I was so encouraged. He said some things God was dealing with him about, and guess what he did? This is what thrilled my soul. He said, I got into the Bible, and God gave me these things to help me with that problem in my life. I thought, amen, that's exactly what I do. I go back to the word of his grace, amen? And now listen, folks, because of that, you and I are laboring that we might be acceptable in his sight at his coming, right? That we might be pleasing unto him. I hate that clock. I'm sorry, I'm all wound up. I do believe in judgment. I do. I believe it's going to be, like it says, knowing the terror of the Lord. But because I know that, like Paul said, we persuade men. I'm trying to persuade you, amen? And I'm trying to help you to know how, at that day, you can have mercy and not judgment. I'll give you one more. And I want you to turn here on this one. Malachi, this is, if I have a life verse, this is probably it. Malachi chapter 3, last book in the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3, I love this. Verse 14, I'll read down through 18. Ye have said it is vain to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinances and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Well, we live in a day like that, do we not? But notice this. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one with another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. Folks, you and me, right here, right now, we have met to speak with one another. Amen. We get together at other times. And I like it when I get into this. I've been in several people's homes here, and we start talking about Bible. That just gets good. Amen. Because you know what we're doing? We're doing this. We are speaking with one another, and we're thinking. Notice, let me continue on. And the Lord hearkened. The Lord's listening, folks, to what we do. And he heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Now notice this. And they shall be mine. These people in this day of apostasy, because they love the Lord, they get together, they think on his name, they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. In the day when I make up my jewels, I will spare them. As a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Now, folks, that's what I want. When I go to be with my Savior, I want him to spare me. I'm a sinner. Amen? I am. I hated to preach this message from this book because I know how sinful I am. But you know what? I keep confessing. I keep going to the Word to keep getting grace. I keep getting up. The just man falls. I keep falling. I keep getting up. Lord, please help me not to fall again. I don't want to. God, give me mercy. I fell again. Please have mercy. And God puts that all behind us, like Paul said, leaving those things which are behind. Let's press forward again, like our pastor preached a couple of months ago, and reaching forth unto those things. Right? Why? Laboring to be acceptable at his sight. And what do? We keep confessing, and then we keep coming back to the word of grace. Amen? Why? So that we can have the power of God to live in a way that's acceptable to him. Mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these dear people. God, help every one of us. Help every one of us to be ready, to be laboring, to be watching, to be praying, to be sober, to not be asleep. You're coming in time. It approaches day by day. Lord, help us to labor that we might be accepted before you at your coming. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, folks.